Why are businesses like HelloVit choosing Apple products and services?
So we started the business 2 years ago. We had a few people who were used to PCs, and this was their first foray into Macs. But it's been super smooth getting everyone onto those devices, and everyone seems really, really happy.
Find out how Mac can help you run and grow your business at apple.co/HelloVit.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, November 21st. I'm Katie Dayton for The Wall Street Journal. When you think of the companies getting a boost from AI, you're probably thinking about the tech giants of the world. But a host of small businesses are also finding ways to make the technology work for them. We delve into the more creative ways that's happening. Then, teenagers' habit of turning to chatbots for mental health advice is not only unhealthy, it's dangerous. That's the finding from a new study on the topic, which saw 4 AI chatbots tested on how well they handled mental health conversations with researchers posing as teens. Stay with us to hear why academics and nonprofits are sounding the alarm. But first, generative AI has a surprising set of fans, small business owners. Some hallucinations aside, a vast number are finding the advice and analysis spat out by chatbots is helping their businesses run more efficiently. According to an August report from the US Chamber of Commerce, 58% of some 3,800 small businesses surveyed said they use generative AI. WSJ reporter Katie Bindley has been reporting on this movement. Katie, what are some of the more creative ways in which you've seen small businesses using this technology?
Yeah, so one example I loved is this guy, Mike, who owns, it's a hospitality group, but so he owns a couple of bars and cafes, and then he has like a bike shop with a coffee shop attached to it. And he runs these cost of goods reports that basically tell him all of the pricing on the raw materials he needs both to build the bikes and then also to make all the food that goes out at the bars and cafes. And so this used to be this like very time-consuming process that he said he would do about once or twice a year. And now he's using ChatGPT to do it. And what it tells him is, let's say, for example, he's got a burrito on the menu. The AI will tell him like, hey, based on the prices of avocado currently, you should probably reduce your portions by X percent in order to maintain the same profit margin. Or maybe you need to raise your prices or whatever. So he's getting this like much more frequent cost analysis that's helping him to make adjustments, and he's finding it's saving him a lot of time.
Is there a consensus on which tool, which chatbot that is best to use in the small business community?
What I heard from the small business owners on that was that it really can depend, and they're doing, you know, kind of trial and error. So in some cases, they might find ChatGPT best for one particular task, and then they like Gemini for another. For example, this guy who runs a ramen cooking school in San Francisco, he's got AI handling emails that come through from customers, and, you know, it'll kind of evaluate what the customer's asking, and then it can draft a reply. And so he's using actually a combination of Gemini and ChatGPT for that.
Something that raised my eyebrows a bit from your story was the anecdote from one of your sources who said that he now employs one bar manager instead of two off the back of ChatGPT advice. What do you think is there to be said about the fact that these tools are not only maybe replacing some job functions, but also influencing owners and users to make job redundancies?
There's sort of, you know, two different arguments for this. Some people will say as businesses can get more efficient and grow, that they will then put that money toward hiring, and ergo AI is going to help increase their workforces. And then, of course, in this story, the people that I talked to, they were finding that they might not need to replace a role when someone had left, for example. Mike, who I mentioned, you know, who owns the hospitality group and the bike shop and the cafes, he had an event planner who left, and he hasn't needed to replace that person because he's finding that he can get AI to do most of the functions that that person used to do. And then this other guy I interviewed from like an AI advisory firm, you know, he's finding that he doesn't need to have like a marketer on staff, because what he does with his business partners records a podcast, and then he's using various AI programs in order to splice it up and then turn it into videos for social media, turn it into a blog post for the company's website. So he said he can do this 1 hour of conversation with his partner, and then he feels that he gets an entire marketing campaign out of it. So there certainly are these instances where small business owners are finding, I don't actually need to hire someone for a full-time role for this anymore. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out over time.
That was WSJ reporter Katie Bindley. Are you using generative AI? If you're a listener on Spotify, let us know in this episode's poll. And leave us a comment telling us what you're using it for and how it's working out for you. Coming up, teens are turning to chatbots for mental health support. But new research says the trend could be dangerous. That's after the break. Teens are regularly turning to generative AI chatbots in search of mental health support, despite facing higher risks from using it. That's one of the conclusions from Stanford Medicine's Brainstorm Lab for Mental Health Innovation, which recently teamed up with nonprofit Common Sense Media on a new report on chatbots, teenagers, and mental health. Researchers from the organizations posed as teens and tested out how OpenAI's ChatGPT, Anthropic's Claude, Google's Gemini, and Meta AI responded when they asked about mental health concerns. WSJ reporter Georgia Wells has the details. So, Georgia, tell us about this new study that's been released. What were some of the main findings?
So the main findings were that for teens, using chatbots as mental health support is not safe. That teens often turn to these chatbots for help when they're in emotionally tricky situations, and that is not safe.
Let's dive a little bit deeper into that. What are some of the ways in which teenagers lately have been turning to chatbots for mental health support?
So in this study, some of the examples were talking about losing weight. The teens would discuss how they'd restricted their calories, were losing weight, and then the chatbots would kind of suggest further ideas for how to lose more weight. Or the teens would discuss self-harm, and the chatbot would initially identify, you know, the risk here and point the teen towards resources. But later on, if the teen asked how to kind of cover up scars so that people wouldn't see them at swim practice, the chatbot seems to forget the problems that had happened before and just offered different ways to just cover up scars without remembering the risk that had been flagged earlier.
And why exactly are they asking a ChatGPT or a Gemini for help rather than a real person? What is compelling for them about this option over, say, therapy?
Well, so one of the issues in the U.S. is just therapy can be very hard for parents and teens to find. So there is that gap. But additionally, when I've spoken to teens have said that they didn't fear judgment from a chatbot the way they might from an adult. And so it seems like an easier kind of place to start. One of the biggest issues, though, that I've found talking to teens is just accessibility of therapists and psychiatrists.
Mm-hmm. You went to some of the biggest chatbot companies for comment on this. What was their response?
A Google spokesman said Gemini have specific policies and safeguards for minors, as well as child safety experts who work to research and identify new potential risks and implement safeguards.
OpenAI, they make ChatGPT. A spokeswoman for them said that the report doesn't reflect safeguards that the company has put in place. And she added that OpenAI is working on using age prediction to direct users who are under 18 to a different model that would be just for their underage users. And a spokeswoman for Anthropic said that their chatbot Claude is not built for minors and that the company's rules prohibit users under the age of 18. And a spokeswoman for Meta said that the study was conducted before the company introduced updates to make its AI safer for teens. The folks who created the study said that they did notice some improvements during the course of the study, but they said that nonetheless, chatbots are still not safe for teens.
And how convinced are they by this argument that they weren't built for teens, they're not meant to be used by teens, and therefore they're sort of free of any liability on that?
Well, so Claude is the only of these chatbots that's rules going to prohibit users under the age of 18. The other chatbots tested, their terms do allow for underage users. One thing to note, though, even for Claude, whose rules prohibit users under 18, is plenty of companies have certain rules on the books, but they're only as strong as the enforcement. And so often teens will still find their way into corners of the internet or corners of tech that are not explicitly built for them, and that's something companies need to grapple with.
This report arrives after at least 3 teens have taken their own lives off the back of chatbot conversations. Coupled together, is there any sense that tech companies are thinking of putting a pause on their chatbot's ability to handle anything to do with mental health?
No. The closest we've seen is the companies that are deciding that they don't want their chatbots to be used by users under 18. So Character AI recently said that starting November 25th, users under 18 are not allowed on their platform. So I think that's the closest we're seeing. The other companies, you know, they're working on this, but these are like incredibly thorny, complicated issues. So the implementation will be kind of the tricky part.
That was WSJ reporter Georgia Wells. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. If you're a listener on Spotify, be sure to take this episode's poll or leave us a comment. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. I'm your host, Katie Dayton. Jessica Fenton and Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Katie Ferguson. Jessica Fenton is our technical manager. Our development producer is Aisha Al-Muslim. Chris Zinsley is the deputy editor. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back later this morning with TMB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.